slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Now we shall officially do the invocation to the devas. Then the basics of the ordinary chanting book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nirvana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chiakawalesu Atra Gachantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhammasavanankalo Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti beso bhagavan arahang Samma Sambuddho vijja caranam sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa asarati santam deva padosana utto bhagavanti svakanto bhagavantam Santitiko akkaliko enhipaseko opadayiko pancantam veditato vinohiti tupatipanno bhagavato Sankasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sankasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sankasango Sankhichipatipanno Bhagavato Sankasango Idam chattari purisayuggani attapurisamuggalam esam bhagavato Om Puneyo Dhamke Okay, now you develop the feelings, sadha, curiosity, then mindfully we shall proceed with the briefing for the taking of the bodhisattva vow. So today is a very auspicious day, 22nd October 2023 is a Sunday. So this taking of the bodhisattva vow is very important. So you have to pay attention, then develop the faith. And when I read through the briefing, pay attention, then develop the sadha area, then the understanding. Faith is very important. When you have the faith, then you are sincere. You can take this with effect, very effectively. Means you can plant the seed of Bodhi with understanding, faith, and special, unique quality of mind. Then through invoking power of merits, you shall actually plant the seed of Bodhi deep into your nature so that it will take effect. Whether when you take people, whether you choose to come or you have to come, this Bodhi mind that you have planted, the stability of it, the effect that you have actually developed through understanding, through faith and sincerity, this will be activated at any one time. And most of the time, it will be activated early, at the earliest sign, at the earliest condition that manifests. Then all this understanding that you have cultivated before will come back to you, will come back to you. Then you don't have to, like every line, have to start over again and wait for your good coming condition to encounter the wise, those who have the understanding to teach you, then learn all over again, no need. That's why this bodhisattva vow, which is very unique, is very important. Okay, turn to page 87 of this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. This is the book you must read through. Develop the understanding, then the sadha, the faith, the understanding, they will all fall into place. Well, this book actually is very unique. I will now commence by reading to you the preface. Initially, is the title, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, based on the direct transcript from the recorded talk of the four Dharma classes on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the Taking of the Bodhisattva Vow as conducted by me. This one is in the year 2016, but the book was transcribed and printed for free distribution on the 31st July 2017. Okay, now turn to preface. Content, you will go back and read it out. So page 2, preface. This book is compound from the combination of four transcripts arising from four different Dhamma talk or Dhamma sharing delivered by Brother Teo, which is me, on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the taking of its vow. Over a period of 2 years, the first talk was delivered on the 2nd of January 2015. Oh, sorry, 2015, we started early, not 16. Followed by the second talk, 19 April 2016, and the talk, the third Dhamma sharing, 26 April 2016, and the fourth one, 28 September 2016. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of all these enclosed Bodhisattva Way Dhamma transcript notes to develop a clear and better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on direct transcript from the recorded talk, dated all those dates that I mentioned before, the texts are aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speeches in those talks. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording before reading through this transcript note. But even without listening to the audio file, it's okay because this one is very complete. So you read yourself down there to listen to the recording. All the links are there. Otherwise, you go to the website, brotio.com. They are all there. Okay, then we skip the acknowledgement. Turn to page 87. C4 means the fourth session of fourth sharing. Briefing prior to the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So this briefing is very important. So now I repeat it to you so that you can develop the understanding and the faith and prepare yourself so that when you take the Bodhisattva vow, it can be very, very effective. Okay. Now I will do the briefing before we take the Bodhisattva vows, the Bodhisattva precepts and aspiration, and the four basic vows. I will guide you along. This book, there was a book from Master Sheng Yan Pasi, the late Master Sheng Yan Pasi of Hua Gusan. He wrote a small booklet. In one of the spiritual trips when I went to Taiwan, we visited the four great Buddhist traditions. So when we were there, Hua Gusan, it was as usual, all these spiritual way places, they were very beautiful, very meaningful, and a lot of things actually happened. The way place was very conducive. Then we were there, they actually attended to us very well. Then we actually had many beautiful encounters and activity. Then in between, when we were there, very strange. The booklet, actually I saw it. Then when I got hold of the booklet, it was a very thin booklet, small floor, like 3 by 5 inches or what? Bodhisattva vow, just mentioned that. Then I flicked through. Then when I flicked through, I saw the Bodhimaya, the five stages of Bodhimaya. Then I said, hey, this guy is not bad. How come he understand this? Then when I came back, That year, the email came, then everything happened, requesting for the Bodhisattva Way. Then I received that book, that I read through. Then I started to develop all the causes and conditions to actually start the delivering of this sharing. I think Pamasuri was one of them. Then he actually, full of faith, decided to volunteer to organize the first session, auspicious session, like I told you, 1st of January 2015. So that was how it all started. Then later on, Yun Chan went to Taiwan again. Then he took back this book, The Method or No Method. Then, because he always hear me teaching, method and technique never define the meditation, you remember? So because of that, he find this book very interesting. So it's meant to be. So he bought the book back, then he passed it to me. He said, "Brother, I present it to you." Then I read through. I actually understood what is said inside there. It was a retreat experience by Sun Yin Pastor. Then he described a lot of things. Yeah. So because of that, I mentioned this book, The Method or No Method, came last Sunday where Sister Yun Chan had an appointment with me. She was so kind as to take me and my wife for dinner together with Raymond. After that, she told me that she went to Taiwan. She followed the tour organized by Ciji, the English section group. But this time she went to visit Master Sun Yan's Fa Gu San again. Then she brought back two books. One of the books is this book, The Method of No Method. And she said, just like Brother Theo's teaching, on method never defines the meditation. Means method and technique are just a series of instruction to do things. It's nothing to do with the meditation. So for those who don't understand what is meditation, they will believe that the method defines the meditation. That's the reason why he never used the word meditation. He said method of no method. When you meditate with a method, it means you don't understand what is meditation. Method is just a skillful means with some instruction to train your mind. She asked me, "Brother Theo, do you want to read this book? The title is so interesting," and she passed it on to me. And initially, I thought it was just about meditation, but it turned out to be a retreat conducted by Master Sun Yan in the year 1990 at their Fa Gu San branch in New York, USA. This book became a bestseller, and it is indeed a very beautiful book. He taught silent illumination, which was the meditation that he learned all those years. So his silent illumination teaching is in fact quite similar to what I teach, except that I use another word to describe it. I call it silent mind in pure awareness. Yeah. So he said silent illumination, because I think he must have seen the bright light, the illumination within. But actually, when you are in pure awareness, you are completely different. Many things can manifest. So to him, silence without illumination means without pure awareness inside. You understand? That's why a lot of people who do samatha meditation, they also silent in absorption, one-pointedness, the mind blank out. But there is no illumination inside as well. Means they are not in the state of awareness with the true mind. So I always say, meditate with the silent mind, with clear awareness within. He also knew that silent without illumination is samatha meditation. Later on, I will read to you, then you will understand illumination is awareness. You must have the ability to be silent with a free mind. not a conditioned mind, with full awareness in the midst of your daily life. And that type of samadhi is the real one, not the one that sits like a statue and has no illumination. Illumination doesn't mean you saw light, understand? Huh? It means clarity and awareness within. It can live life, it can understand things, and it can awaken to the truth, not in absorption, not in one-pointedness concentration. Then there is another part which he talked about, the Bodhi mind. Now this one is very relevant to our taking of the Bodhisattva vow, which was what I wanted you all to develop the understanding. But I didn't expect this topic to come so fast. At first, I thought I would teach you all stage by stage initially, maybe just to let you understand the importance of planting the seed of Bodhi, to develop the Bodhi resolve to walk this way, the Bodhisattva way. Then only I will slowly teach you all the other relevant understanding. But then this book came in the nick of time. When I read it last night, I was full of joy, because the part on the Bodhi mind is really beautiful. Then I decided to photostat the book for some of you. But before I send it out for photostat, I used my handphone to WhatsApp the three important pages for you to read first. These three important stages are what I told you. I read, I saw the five stages of Bodhi mind development to realize Sammasambuddhahood. It's clearly listed in those pages, page 39 to 41 of his book. That's why the moment I read, I knew what it was, because I went on that training and I took that path. And my nature had the understanding of all the five paths. Then the one that I have realized and cleared is the third and the fourth. So because of that, I tell myself meant to be. That's why in this sharing and preview, I explain the whole thing. Yeah. So now you listen, huh? This is the part that will give you the faith, the understanding, yeah, and the necessary, what they call understanding to go this way, yeah, how to optimize it, how to develop it, so that that faith, that sincerity, yeah, and that resolve, you can actually build it up to plant the seed of Bodhi deep into your nature. Because when you make this type of vow with sincerity, faith, and very strong determination, aditan, then you invoke power of merits. This is going to be very, very effective and very profound, or they call potent. Okay, now you listen. When you take the Bodhisattva way, the first stage of Bodhi mind development is to aspire sincerely to walk this Bodhisattva way, so that the seed of Bodhi is planted deep into your consciousness, deep into your nature. Then I ask, is this first step very difficult? Yeah? Is it very difficult? Aspire sincerely with the faith and understanding to go this way, also cannot do. Don't need to cultivate, only develop the faith, the understanding to aspire, to plant the mind of Bodhi. That's why I say, is it very difficult? Is there any danger? And there is none, isn't it? So forget about what these people tell you. Those who don't have the understanding, They put fear into people. They say, don't play play. Taking the Bodhisattva vow is a serious matter because it involves eons and eons of cultivation. Meaning the ego is there. Delusion is there. You think you walk the path. You think you want to become Sammasambuddha, then you find it too long, too tiring. The ego is manifesting. Sakkayaditya, and then you want to cut short. You want to become Arya, Arahant. Then without the understanding, you simply say this thing, the danger is there. Meaning the ego is there, the delusion is there, and the fear that arises is from delusion. And these people who say all these things are not much different from those rigid, sorry, pardon me for saying that, I put in bracket, not all, rigid in certain sense, Theravada Buddhists who doesn't believe, those who doesn't believe in Mahayana teaching, and they go around telling people that Mahayana teaching is not the real teaching. Some even tell you, not spoken by the Buddha, Sakyamuni. If you do this and put fear into those who has potential or who are potential aspirant, 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 how to pronounce this? Aspirant, who wants to walk the Bodhisattva way to plant the seed of Bodhi, then do you know what will happen to you? You will be what?
Obstructed.
Read that word.
Obstructed.
Karmically means karmic obstruction from receiving what? This Mahayana teaching for many, many lives to come. You know, it will block you, obstruct you. That's the reason why recently there were at least two. We are during that retreat when I conducted at least two or three Karmita who came and talked to me on this matter because of what they had heard and read from other sources and what people tell them. They say, going this way is very dangerous, they told me, because a lot of things you cannot realize and do, and there are a lot of restrictions too. Some even quote the sutta, don't know from where they hear the sutta. And that one, I don't know what sutta is it. So because of that, I actually share it. Then I said, a lady said, I am not ready. I don't have this type of quality. Then I replied, please do understand that all these are your thoughts telling you. This is not wisdom. What have you got to lose by making all this Bodhisattva vow aspiration and the taking of the four basic vows? Does it cause you any problem or harm? Or it only benefits you? You remember the Kalama Sutta? What is the advice of the Buddha to the Kalamas? They say religious teacher come and go. Everyone telling them their religion is the only truth and the best. So the Buddha advised them, whoever he may be, whether he has title, robe, religious, or whatever, he said, please don't believe any of them, including him, the Buddha. Then he advised them, very simple check, he said. Whatever they advise you to do, you put it to test, you check. If I do, does it harm me? Does it hurt me? Does it cause me karmic negativity? Or harm others, affect others, and cause karmic negativity to others? He said, if it doesn't, then what have you got to lose? Then after that, if you give it a try, because you got nothing to lose, if it happened to be the truth and stand up to investigation, you get all of the benefit, understand not? But even if you follow it, it doesn't hurt you, harm you or others, then the worst thing is what? if it's not the truth, then you only wasted a bit of time, understand or not? What is the danger? So all this understanding need to be established, otherwise your karmic obstruction will come and haunt you. So I continue. All these are quite simple inquiry. And the four basic vows didn't even say you cannot do this or you cannot do that. It is no different from just taking the precept, except now you vow through an understanding which is even more beautiful and more extensive. So I will give you this book at that time for those who have the understanding, condition and affinity to receive it. Then after that, the Yun Chanwan Nelmai. I think she cannot find the book, the original book. Okay. Then somehow we asked around, I think finally he got it back. Okay, so now C5, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Those who can see their WhatsApp, beyond that day I WhatsApp to them, can refer to it while I read out the part on the five stages of Bodhi mind development. This book is based on a meditation retreat conducted by Master Sun Yan in the year 1990. There are two parts to this retreat. The first part was conducted by Master Sun Yan himself, and the second part is based on a very famous Zen master or Dharma master Hong Zi teaching. It seems Hong Zi is the second generation disciple of Hui Neng. You know Hui Neng? Sixth patriarch. Second generation means the direct disciple's disciple. So the sixth patriarch, Hui Neng, these are the very beautiful teachings. So Master Hong Zi taught silent illumination meditation. I think Master Sun Yan Fa Si must have learned from him. Both are very beautiful sharing and teaching. I like this part where he said, the fifth day of his sharing. Today is what day of our retreat? Also fifth day. When he spoke on the topic, arousing the Bodhi mind. Same me there. How to plant the seed of Bodhi, how to arouse the understanding, the faith, the sincerity, and how to make the affirmation, how to invoke power of merits and wholesomeness to make sure the causes and conditions are planted for it to be activated, for it to manifest in all your future coming. It will activate that Bodhi mind once planted successfully with faith, sincerity, understanding, and great affirmation. It's like you know this is so beautiful, so important, and this is what you want. You go all out. You make that affirmation, that determination, that aditan. Mahayana call it the vow. So this is what you need to do. To have the Bodhi mind or Bodhicitta is very important, because in the Tibetan tradition, you always hear them talk about Bodhicitta, to arouse the Bodhi mind. Bodhi means enlightenment, just like the Bodhi tree, the tree that makes the Buddha enlightened when he sat underneath that faithful Bodhi tree on the night of his enlightenment. Do you all remember when we were in Taiwan? About 2 or 3 years back, I think a lot of Kayamita went with us. Even Brother Sui An's mother was also with us. We went to the temple, Zhong Tai Chan Si. What did the abbot who was over 90 years old told us in the booklet he wrote? He said, he built that temple or way place not to become famous, not to be a monument, for tourists to come and visit. Do you know what his main intent was? He said, millions will come and visit this place every year. That figure is not a joke. Yeah. Especially those who have the affinity. Well, when we were there, it was full of people. He only need to have at least one of them from these millions. After they come and visit, they can feel, recall their past, and renew their seed of Bohi, or plant the seed of Bohi to walk this way. Or those who have the affinity can develop the faith when they are there. And they somehow got the condition to decide to plant the seed of Bohi. He said that single wholesome thought of Bohi is very important. And if even only one living being among the many that goes there, that go that way, finally realizes Sammasambuddhahood, then all the money and effort and expense and hard work they do is already worth it. This is how cultivators of the way will understand all this. That the reason why they would do a lot of this wholesome thing or activity. We were there at that temple and it was so beautiful. We were so fortunate. They even invited us to go up to the very top level of the pagoda, which was about 7 or 9 story high. And that special Buddha Rupang, which was housed inside it, I think it's Medicine Buddha, Yao Si Fo. It's very huge, that Medicine Buddha. The whole area, the energy is so beautiful, so fine, and so intense. And we had the chance to go up to the uppermost floor to see it. And they even took us to all the rooms to see all the other beautiful Buddha Rupangs and relics, the great beings Rupang and relics. The energy there was so soothing and so good. When you are there, your faith will be enhanced. And this is what I meant by having the condition to plant the seed of Bohi with faith to walk the Bodhisattva way. And then you listen. To have Bohi mind is to arouse the altruistic mind of enlightenment. This is what you need to understand. Do you know what is the meaning of altruistic? Altruistic means doing something without expecting anything in return. And you can do it. It means you are very, very beautiful in your understanding. Means selfless. You just want to help people without any expectation in return. Which means you do it for others, service above self. So an altruistic mind of enlightenment is really beautiful. Where you just want to help people develop the understanding and the wisdom leading to the awakening and do things for the good of the many. Devote your service for the welfare of many. That's why these people with the altruistic mind is selfless. Without the ego, they know form and mind only, no reality. So their understanding and approach is so different. Excuse me. Then he said, without the Bohi mind, one can at best liberate oneself or practice worldly samadhi. They use the word worldly samadhi. This is very true, I say. That's the reason why if you don't plant the seed of Bohi and walk this Bodhisattva way, at best you can only liberate oneself or practice worldly samadhi. The samadhi in which one still has attachment. Actually, this one is inverted comma. Do you know the meaning? This is what he meant by thought-based meditation, where the self is very strong. The Sakaditi. Sakaditi is self-delusion. The self-striving, meditating, doing all those things. So he said, if you do this without the Bodhi mind, it means the enlightenment thought, which is your true mind. If you don't meditate with your true mind, if you use your mundane mind or thought to meditate, then what happened? That's why he said it's worldly samadhi. One can at best liberate oneself, means you think there is a person to liberate and practice worldly samadhi. So when you base it on thought-based dhamma, do you know what type of samadhi you will have? You may think you have got the dhamma, and you may also think you have the samadhi. But the fact is, you still have attachment. That's the reason why he said you practice worldly samadhi, the samadhi in which one still has attachment. Therefore, the Bodhi mind is the foundation and primary focus of all Mahayana practitioners who walk the path of Bodhi, to walk the Bodhisattva way. Renunciation means disavowing attachment, fame, self-benefit, and worldly attachment or clinging. That's why renunciation is one of the perfection. So the 10 perfection, one of them is renunciation. As our interest in worldly phenomena diminish, what happens is our self-centeredness or the egoic mind also diminish. You cultivate without the mark of a self because you come for the living being. That's the reason why all of this attachment, they will be severed. Then what is renunciation? Renunciation is to renounce all those things that are not real, so that you don't deludedly attach, cling, and hold on to them. And he didn't explain this part because to him, he assumed others should understand. That's why, because of my understanding, I explained it to you. Whatever that is within the phenomenal world, not real, you cannot hold. That's why renunciation is wisdom, actually, nikkama. Then you can renounce. You don't have delusion. When you cannot renounce, means you give meaning, you grasp, you cling, you hold. And to them, to you, all these are like very real. But the deep meaning is the final summary of the First Noble Truth that the Buddha expounded or proclaimed. What is the final summary? What did the Buddha say? In short, it is due to your self-delusion or sakaditi that condition you to cling, grasp, and hold onto the 5 aggregates of form and mind. The upadana khandas, the 5 grasping aggregate, that is the cause of suffering. That's the reason why craving is the cause of suffering. Because when you grasp, cling, and hold, you have craving. And you want things your way. You believe all these are real. Your fame, your reputation, your form and mind, your physical body, your attachment, your clinging to your possession, your wealth, your loved one. All these you hold, including the phenomenal world. The property, your wealth, your business, everything else. Do you think you can own anything? All of your prized possession or antique, etc. Even your own beautiful car, wife, spouse, and all these other things. When you understand attachment is the cause of suffering, then you will understand why you must cultivate the opposite of attachment, which is renunciation, nikkama. You renounce the world, the phenomenal world. You renounce all that which is unreal, condition arising, and dependent originating. So that is the reason why when we took the vow to severe all vasection and all suffering, what are you cultivating? Yeah? Renunciation. Otherwise, how can you severe all affliction, vexation, and suffering? It's because you have that wisdom that can allow you to actually severe them. Of course, the other way is, excuse me, you have to endure, understand? Enduring is because condition of that things will be like that. You have to endure before help come, before people who can actually help you arrive. Excuse me, I need to have a drink. Okay, I need to skip a bit because we need to actually take the vow after this. Okay, the rest of the page, I think you go and read up yourself. Because this one is connecting the vow to all the perfection. That's why the 10 perfection has a lot to do with the 4 basic vow. Okay, then go to page 94. Somewhere in the middle, second paragraph, of good conduct, of upright conduct, of wise conduct, and of dutiful or responsible conduct, is the order of the noble disciple of the Buddha, and these are the marks and virtue of enlightened being. If you don't have this quality, then you have to check your cultivation. So under salutation rasanga, all these are very clear. Then I say, apart from sincerity and trust, oh sorry, this one is about marriage, you read yourself, we skip. Okay, then we turn to page 97. Okay, maybe turn back one page, 96, the last paragraph. Oh, sorry, the second last paragraph. Unless we generate the 4 basic great vow, we should not consider ourselves Mahayana practitioner or cultivator of the way who walk the path of Dhamma to become Sama Sambuddha. The Zen practice is basically Dhamma cultivation, when we cultivate in the spirit of the Bodhi mind to fulfill the 4 great vows via Zen meditation. It is no different from normal Dhamma practice, where we also establish a goal and a direction. We walk towards this goal according to our own pace, and we walk on this path towards our destiny. Guided on the path by renunciation and wisdom, we will have wisdom to help others. We have talked about the 4 noble truth, the 3 marks of existence or characteristics of existence, universal characteristic, the Bodhi mind, and the 4 great vow. And we have learned how to sit in silent illumination. The purpose of all this is to terminate affliction, meaning suffering, self-importance, sakayatiti, grasping and clinging. We do all this so that we will be in a better position to help others. Then we use the above essential Dhamma cultivation and wisdom to cut off all the section in ourselves and help others to do the same. In so doing, we realize renunciation and compassion, which is none other than the Bodhi mind. That's the reason why when you are no longer deluded, you don't cling, you don't attach, because you had the wisdom. And that's also the reason why you can renounce all of the illusion. In the Avatamsaka Sutta, or the Flower Ornament Sutta, Huayanjing, there is a phrase whether, sorry, there is a phrase, there is this phrase, when the bodhicitta or the bodhimind is generated, one ultimately attains Buddhahood. That's why once you plant this, ultimately you will realize Buddhahood. That's why you need to plant that seed of bodhi, so that it can arise the causes and conditions for you to be reminded of this cultivation, your vow and understanding, life after life. Means the bodhi mind, once planted successfully, it will activate itself and remind you, then connect you back to the cultivation. This is the teaching of awakened mind. Entering the path of Buddhahood, arousing bodhi mind, may be much or it may be little, but it is an accomplishment. You may not fulfill this path completely, but you have at least gained a strong foothold, and you are certain to attain Buddhahood in the future. In that sense, one attains Buddhahood when bodhicitta is generated. Someone who gives rise to bodhicitta or the bodhi mind, and also vow to benefit all living beings, is a true bodhisattva. Then we come to the stages of bodhi mind development. This is the one I will finish off, then we can start to prepare ourselves to take the vow. Then come the stage of bodhi mind development. This is the one I want to share with you all tonight. Arousing bodhi mind establishes one on the path to Buddhahood, but it is still an embryonic Buddhahood. According to the Mahapragnaparamita Sutta, the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutta, complete Buddhahood is realized after you have fulfilled all the five stages of bodhi mind development. The first stage of bodhi mind development, what is the first stage of bodhi mind development? It is the bodhi mind that first aspire to be a Sammasambuddha. We are making the resolve, adhittan or aspiration, sincerely, with faith. And you are willing to persevere. See? Faith, sincerity, and perseverance to realize it. So the first stage of bodhi mind cultivation is very simple, and everyone who has the condition, sincerity, faith, and understanding, and determination, you should be able to make this aspiration and affirmation to plant the first seed of bodhi, to walk this way, for you have got nothing to lose. Then you can go on to develop wisdom through your cultivation of the four basic vow. Then when you have developed the wisdom, what will happen to you? The bodhi mind that subdues affliction will arise, which means you are able to subdue all affliction or vexation or suffering, meaning no more suffering, meaning you are already wise. That is the second round. Hence you are no longer deluded by the phenomenal world and the conditioned world. That is the second stage of bodhi mind development. Understand? First is to aspire to go this way, very easy. Second is vow to endure and severe all vexation, affliction, and suffering. To do this, you must have wisdom. You must have the perfection of nikkama, renunciation. And you must have some form of wisdom leading to the perfection of wisdom, which is the third basic vow of the bodhisattva. Okay, then the third stage of bodhi mind development is the bodhi mind that illuminates Buddha nature as enlightenment means you not only awaken, become enlightened via the sainthood way, but you manage to illuminate that nature within, your true nature, until it becomes so clear, which means you connect to the gateway to your nature. You are able to transform and illuminate that nature within. That's the reason why the third stage will make you a true bodhisattva. The gateway cultivation via the fourth support trust, which you will do later on in the cultivation, unless you have your past cultivation and the condition to support you. After this third stage is very, and this third stage is very powerful. After this, you will never regress. Understand? Means your path is guaranteed 100%. Never regress, you know. Putui, Pusa. Means you can never fall back already. Before that third stage of Bodhi mind development, before that cultivation, actually Bodhisattva still not sure. They cultivate, then they fall back. Cultivate, fall back. But once you hit the third phase of, third stage of Bodhi mind development, when you locate the gateway and can actually illuminate that nature, means you develop until that trust, the fourth support, until that nature become very clear and very, very beautiful. Means you can illuminate until that whole nature inside there become very, very bright, very clear and very complete. And during that time, you will not fall back anymore. You will not regress anymore. So your heart area here, front and back, the whole thing, finally become like hollow, nothing inside that. It doesn't mean it's physically hollow, please. Hollow means you have developed the transformation, that nature has actually transformed until like truly empty inside there. And that nature, very, very unique one. I also don't know how to let you understand. Because this one, it's just like the great being's nature. Now, once you reach here, the gateway, then your nature will start to evolve. Like this one now, it's already evolved on you. A lot of cultivators of the way of being who have the ability, they can draw, tap from here, without them knowing. And they will sense it, a very strong one. And this one cannot be depleted. The more people draw, the more enhanced it becomes. Then the more I share Dhamma, I deliver, the stronger it becomes. So all this, as you develop the cultivation, you will know. Okay. Then after that, we read on. The third stage is already very powerful. After this, you will never regress. Then after that, you move on to cultivate Bodhi mind that renounces samsara. This is phase 4. Or stage 4, to attain Buddhahood. This means you already know samsara is just form and mind, not me, and no reality. That's the reason why you will renounce samsara. Because to you, samsara, I got no more problem, manasana. You can just say bye-bye. Because you would like to come, manasana. You won't go and worry like the thought-based people. Wow, take so long, aeon and aeon, you sure you can? Where got such thought? Because once your nature illuminates that thing, the form and mind become very clear, samsara is nothing. Actually, samsara is like what the Heart Sutta say. When you realize true emptiness is wonderful existence, that's why you keep on coming. That's why some of the great beings, like Tizan Wang Pusa, Kuan Si Ying Pusa, Pusen Wen Su, you know why they want to remain as Bodhisattva? They can actually realize Buddhahood because no point, understand? They like to do this, or they like to keep on coming. And they already know, no difference, to realize that Samasam Buddhahood is sooner or later. Whenever, when they want that a condition to arise, it can actually happen. But in the meantime, their nature is very, very happy and contented to do what they are doing. And they take the type of vow that prevent the Sammāsambuddhahood from arising or not. Like Tizang Wang Pusa, you know, one of the vow is what? Not until hell is empty of hell beings will he attain Sammāsambuddhahood, full enlightenment. You think he you use the word what? You cannot use the word stupid. You think he doesn't know how to perfect himself. It's because he purposely put them out so that he can stay very long in that stage of bodhisattvahood to remain to do what he wants to do. Then, like a lot of people say, you vow, the first basic vow, to take a cross and liberate the limitless living being of the three period of time. You think how long it takes? Unending, understand? But it doesn't mean that that will hinder them. Because once the perfection is finished, it's up to that nature, how he wants to develop it. So all this understanding, when you cross this cultivation, when you reach all these stages, you will understand. Okay? I read on. That's the reason why you will renounce samsara. You won't be afraid of it anymore. You won't worry about it anymore. Even when the thought tells you the way may take aeons and aeons of cultivation. So how to take it? How to walk it this way? It's crazy, people will tell you. That's just the thought telling you. That's the reason why the deluded one dare not do it. Dare not do all this because they don't understand. But the fourth stage, by the fourth stage, this delusion is no more. That one, I think, typo mistake. That's the reason why it can renounce samsara. For samsara is just a phenomenal world of consciousness, condition arising, causal phenomenon. You must know how to come. That's the reason why one of my teachers told me, if you know how to come, you will know how to return. You can return to the source. If you don't know how to come, then what happens? All these are due to your delusion because you don't know who you are, what you are, who takes you here. The law of karma, which is your good friend, actually takes you here. And every life you come, you also don't know what is going on because of your self-delusion, sakadity. You only complain, have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation to pay back your karma. Then every time blame people. Why am I like that? Why am I so unlucky? Why is God so unfair? But in the past, when you did all this to others earlier on, you didn't ask all these questions yourself in the same way. But when karma hits back at you, where you reap what you sow, you complain and you cannot understand why you are so miserable. Then you complain, why is everything not right? You make other people miserable and fearful because you don't have that right thought of sympathy towards them through your delusion. You heedlessly continue to do all those karmic evil. And life after life when you come, you have to pay back all this karmic debt. So these five stages of bohimaya development are very beautiful. The last stage is bohimaya or the consuming, which means you reach the pinnacle of wisdom and compassion. You complete the bodhisattva way training, means you complete the training to become Sammāsambuddha. So you have completed the cultivation of the 10 perfection to become Sammāsambuddha. Then Master Sun Yat-sen say, Where do you stand within the five stages of Bodhisattva or Bodhi mind development? So every time you cultivate, ask yourself, which stage are you on? Understand? Huh? So the first stage is very easy, no need to do anything, no cultivation involved except faith, sincerity, perseverance, understanding. Then plant the seed of Bodhi firmly, Adhitan, okay? Now, the next paragraph I want you all to read together. If you are very confident, you should say at least one. Stage one is very simple, isn't it? Because you just have to aspire with the understanding. So you don't have to worry, for you have got nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Or have we not yet generated the Bodhi mind? Which means first stage also you don't have. So which one you want, up to you, okay? So are you ready? Okay. For those who are ready, get hold your yellow card. So before we actually do all the necessary salutation, then invoke the power of merits to take this Bodhisattva vow and other things. I will read through to you the yellow card so that you know what it is, so that when later on when we take the vow, we shall together recite. And when you recite, you must develop beforehand the faith, the sincerity, the affirmation, and plant the seed of Bodhi so that it can develop that type of efficacy that is needed for it to take effect. Then all of your future cultivation will be taken care of, because this particular Bodhisattva vow, before you take it, it involves making a special aspiration or affirmation to go this Bodhisattva way. And once you fulfill these three special aspiration or affirmation, you are hope, because in future, whether you choose to come as a normal rebirth human being due to ignorance, you have to come, or you choose to come as a Bodhisattva, all this understanding that you have vowed and made affirmation will be with you. It will be activated by itself. Even non-sasana, it will arise. And that nature, you have those things. Then very fast, you can connect back, because whatever in nature you see, your mind becomes your, because of the Bodhi mind, you will have the condition to actually develop the understanding. Then all of a sudden, like Hui Ning, he heard the sutta, Diamond Sutta, just that stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. He connect and he become like amazingly different, awakened. That's why you want to know, what is this that you are reciting? If you are already on the path with the Bodhi mind planted, all this aspiration, affirmation and vow that you make, they will actually arise. That's why the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh, that mind or enlightenment is the mind that will activate itself to actually give rise to this ability. And you vow because you want it to be part of the conditioned world's existential law. That's why it's connect to the nature's law because of this vow. That it will have its efficacy to manifest. Understand not? You remember during the Buddha's time, Devadatta and him, because of the Bengal incident in the long distant path, he out of jealousy, hatred and selfishness, he vowed. He wants to go after the Bodhisattva that has yet to become Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni later on. He vowed, life after life, to chase after him to get back the Bengals and all that. And because of that vow, he keep on taking birth together with Sakyamuni. That's why end up finally the cousin. But because he took the wrong way, with the wrong view, wrong thought, do the wrong thing, he end up miserable. So vow, when you do, if without understanding and virtue, if with heedlessness and delusion, it will go the other way. I like the saying, Hokkien people know, tua ho tua pai, understand? You know what tua ho tua pai, no? If it's good, it's hell or good. If it's heedless, deluded, it's hell or miserable. Means good, but big good, is it? Pai, tua pai, big bad. Although the language, direct translation, the meaning doesn't stand out. But in Hokkien, it stand out. Tua ho tua pai. Mandarin got it. 大起大落。Okay, so get ready. I just read through so that you know. Taking of the Bodhisattva vow. First, you make the special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. This will put you firmly on the first phase or first stage of Bodhi mind development. Understand not? So you invoke power of merits. You develop the faith, the sincerity, the understanding, then you actually determine adhipan, because through your faith, your understanding, your sincerity, your determination, you want to go this way and you know the importance and beauty of it. So you really vow. And how you vow? Like playing poker, you silang everything in. Means you invoke what? By the power of? Whatever blessing and wholesomeness, though, that this nature of yours, although when you chant yourself, I put mine, but when I read it to you, it's yours, means this nature of yours had cultivated from the distant past until now, though. Is this silang or not? You know what is silang or not? Everything in, there's a from the distant past until now, you really make the affirmation. May it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it choose to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. So the first three is the important right view, spiritual law, law of karma, law of dependent origination, or the dwelling, Paticca Samuppada, or Citta Niyama, and the four noble truths, Dhamma Niyama. Then to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, clearly, they are the direct seeing. To realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomenon, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That this so-called human being or living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, Sankara anicchang, Sankara anatta, Vijnanam anicchang, Vijnanam anatta, Sabbe sankara anicchang, Sabbe sankara dukkhang, Sabbe dhamma anatta. Then after that, the third expression, having developed all the above right views, this nature of my vow to always keep the three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Samasambuddha. So the Bodhisattva three set of pure precept is slightly different from the advice of the Buddha to normal Theravada cultivator of the sainthood way. Dhammapada verse 183 is just avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to realize the enlightenment, the wisdom. But this one, the three set of pure precept of the Bodhisattva, is an enhancement. You see, the first one, instead of only to avoid all evil, you also have to understand what constitutes evil. In bracket, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil. Then expand on it, contemplate, and reflect. Then after that, to cultivate, instead of all wholesomeness, or whatever wholesomeness, wherever there is condition, you cultivate all virtue and blessings. Mangala Sutta, blessings. Leading to the perfection of them all. See, so much more extensive. You don't only do good now, but you cultivate all virtue and blessing so that you can perfect all the 10 perfection. That's why the pure three sets of pure precept are very extensive and very different. So you need to cultivate all so that you can perfect them all. Then the last one is, instead of purifying your mind to realize enlightenment the same way in the here and the now, they cultivate wisdom to liberate and take across all sentient beings. Means this one is similar to the third basic vow of the Bodhisattva. The third basic vow of the Bodhisattva is, I read to you, this nature of my vow to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. So when you have the third set of pure precept, you will fulfill the third basic vow of the Bodhisattva. Okay? Then the most important one is the taking of the four basic vow. So later on, we will read this with understanding and faith, then with affirmation. So this one is a format by Pusien, which is very good. A lot of Mahayana master or monk that guide people to take the Bodhisattva way follow this format, because Pusien actually develop it. I read to you, then you understand. You see, it states that, of course, with the faith, with the sincerity, affirmation, and the understanding, you make this vow, understand? Just as all the previous Sugata, means these are Samasambuddha, enlightened being, the Buddhas, they generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment when they first started, and accomplished all the stages of Bodhi mind development and Bodhisattva training. So too were this nature of mine. You know why I use the word this nature of yours? Because every segment you come, which one is you? None of them are you. But your nature never change, understand? That nature, like karmic nature, each and every of the karmic action you do form your karmic nature. So each and every of these segments that come, they form your nature. Understand? That's why we use this word. So too were this nature of mind for the sake of all living beings, generates the Bodhi mind or enlightenment. And actually you can add in the word vow to accomplish all stages of the Bodhi mind training or Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature, so that it will take effect, understand, with the efficacy and all that. And then only we continue this nature of my vow with utmost sincerity. Read together. Sincerity,
faith,
and these three, very important, to walk to
perfection,
this bodhisattva way, we are taking the following four initial basic vow of a bodhisattva. Then only we recite. Then next page. Third, additional vow to break all coming obstruction. After we will read through. Then additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. This one you can add later on when you have the understanding. Okay? So the thing clear. Okay? So now we will start. Let us compose ourselves, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall take the bodhisattva vow. Let us pay respect, triple gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavatang abhivadimi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, so now together mindfully, we follow the yellow card, then we recite together. Taking all the bodhisattva vow. Number one, making a special aspiration to walk the bodhisattva way. Okay, together we shall recite. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. Number one, first right view. Right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Right view with regards to the law of dependent origination or dwelling, citta niyama. And right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, dhamma niyama. Then the second right view, together we chant, we recite. To understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly, we are the direct seeing. To realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That these so-called living beings, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a chemically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world. To develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite the understanding of the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang. Rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankhara anicchang, sankhara anatta vijnanam anicchaṃ vijnanam anatta sabbe saṅkhārā anicchaṃ sabbe saṅkhārā dukkhaṃ sabbe dhammā anattā. Then the third affirmation, or aspiration, together. Having developed the above right view, this nature of my vows, to always keep the following precepts of pure precepts, following the advice of all Sammasambuddha, to avoid all evil, and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all, to cultivate wisdom to liberate and take across all sentient beings. And now, the second part is the taking of the four basic laws. This one, you have to actually develop the understanding and the faith, and together we shall recite it. Just as all the previous Sukhata, the Buddha generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generates the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Then now we will take the basic vow. This nature of my further vows with utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way, we are taking the following initial four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. This nature of my vow to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of my vows to endure and severe all dissection and suffering. This nature of my vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of my vow to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. Okay, page 3 is additional vow to break all karmic obstruction, to bring about the way. So this one, you take it as a very important guide. Whenever you confront any of the First Noble Truth reality that you cannot resolve, first thing to do is to ask for forgiveness and repentance. So if you have done this, your life will be very smooth sailing. Yeah? Okay. Now we are together recite. If by action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion and heedlessness, that this nature of mine had offended or done anything wrong out to the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved, or watered down, or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mine to continue with its cultivation, to realize the true Dhamma with ease. This nature of mine also vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity, born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then the last one. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstructions or obstacles amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. Then the last part is additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. Okay, we recite together. This nature of mine vows to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. Wait. We repeat the top one. This nature of my vow to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balas or powers. Life after life, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. This nature of my vow to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall pay respect to Triple Gem and all the great beings. Buddham Pujami. Dhammam Pujami. Sangham Pujami. Okay, that ends the entire taking of the Bodhisattva vow. And hopefully from now onward, you all, for those who have still not stabilized the taking of this vow, you should continue every day, recite them. Every morning or every night is up to you. Then you must do it for at least for 6 months until it has established itself, until it has become a part of you. Then the best is until you no need to look at the yellow card, you can actually recite it. Because the reason being, if this life also you cannot commit to memory and develop all this understanding, means in future when you take birth, you think you can recall all this or not? Not easy. So this line you must contemplate, reflect, and do until very, very clearly, until you are very familiar with it. Then in future when you come, this Bodhi mind will activate by itself. That's why you don't go and think like that, attend one retreat, one session, finish, kautim already. Not like that. At least the basic sincerity, faith, and perseverance, you must do until this one really go in. Understand? Huh? Until it becomes part of your Bodhi mind that is firmly established within your heart, your nature, so that it can be there to help you. It will activate by itself and cause sickness. Because this vow and all this aspiration and affirmation that you make has become part of the nature's law. Will you invoke power of merits, understanding, faith, sincerity, and perseverance? Then you continue to cultivate to fulfill it. That's why it will take off. It will have its efficacy. Okay? Let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, how much time do we have still? Oh, still a half an hour. You want to meditate? Or you want to finish all the Heart Sutta? We are behind time actually. Okay, we continue with our Heart Sutta. Page 97. Tell me, now I need to rest my throat already.
Page 97. Page 97. 18th Heart Sutra Class, Part 1, 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dharma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness via an awareness of all actions and movements, feelings, content of consciousness, and Dharma that arise and pass away from moment to moment within the present moment, the real wisdom cannot arise. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion, whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomenon at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all the life situation amicably.
So this second paragraph is most important. Read through and understand it and develop the ability to live it. Then you will become beautiful. You will progress. Okay, next one.
Okay, 1.2. The four right efforts. The four right efforts are 1. To abandon the unwholesome actions, speeches, and thoughts that had already arisen. 2. To prevent the arising of the unwholesome thoughts, speeches, and actions that have yet to arise. 3. To develop or cultivate the right thoughts, speeches, or actions that are still not in you. 4. To maintain and refine upon any right thoughts, speeches, and actions that are already in you. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lessons 18, The Conditioned Body, page 35 to 39, 2.1, Three Types of Suffering. There are three types of suffering. 1. Suffering within suffering. In the most obvious ordinary form, dukkha dukkata, suffering within the physical form like birth, old age, sickness, and death. If the mind via delusion clings and attached to this bodily suffering, then there is double suffering. That is, not only the body is sick, mind is also affected. 2. Suffering due to the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned state, sankhara dukkati. Suffering due to mental attachment via attachment to the sankhara aggregates of mind. 3. Suffering caused by change, viparinama dukkata. Everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory, and if one cannot accept this reality or this universal characteristic of impermanence, then suffering will arise via wanting good things your way. Note, suffering due to change as explained on page 43 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Biyadasi Thera. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feelings that man can experience fade away and disappear. As the Buddha says, even the feelings that a yogi or meditator experiences by attaining the four meditative absorptions, jhana, come under the category of viparinama dukkha, because they are transient, anicca, dukkha, and subject to change, viparinama dhamma. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. What the Buddha points out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever that is impermanent is unsatisfactory. Yada nichang tang dukkang. That is, there is no lasting bliss. Part 3, Meditation 3.1. How to progress along the path of Dhamma? Question 1. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? Brother Teo replied, according to the Buddha, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is Sammaditti, or right view. Without this right view, you can't proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your views are wrong, then your thoughts will be wrong, as thoughts and mental intention condition your speeches, actions, and the way we live our life. Then all the other subsequent power factors of the Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, it is important to have the right view or right understanding as the first power factor within the Noble Eightfold Path. The three right views with regards to all the spiritual laws that govern all of life and existence are very important, and they are 1. The law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, citta niyama, like the 12 links of paticca samuppada. 3. The law of all other nature's truth, dhamma niyama, like the four noble truths. Nature's truth, everything that can explain the way things are is truth. The Buddha's advice via Dhammapada verse 183, to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind, comes from the first right view, law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma, which is also one of the five daily contemplations that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence, the importance of taking care of one's karma. How do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be ever mindful or heedful of our mental intention so that our actions, speech, and thoughts are always right and appropriate to avoid all the negative or evil karma while keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha, and the third advice is to cultivate the 10 steps of the Abhijja Sutta, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness to purify our mind. 3.2. How to come out of the wrong path? Question 2. When we are on the wrong path, we are having wrong view, how can we come out of it? Brother Chia replied, this is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we don't have wrong view or follow the wrong path. We are following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. 1. Taking the three refuges, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, with very strong faith and sincerity, we are understanding its importance. There is no other safe refuge except in the Triple Gem, where the Four Noble Truths can be found to realize enlightenment. 2. To make the aspiration by reciting Nimina punya kamena, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yavani mana patia, to evoke the power of merits to enable one to avoid all the foolish and meet with the wise and the enlightened ones so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible time. 3.3. You reap what you sow. Can this karma be experienced in this life, in this very life? Question 3. You reap what you sow, so can this karma be experienced in this very life? Brother Chia replied, it depends on which chetana or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to the Abhidharma, there are 7 determining thought moments or chetana or mental intention to condition karma, and if it happens during the first determining thought moment, then it is only effective this life if there is condition for it to arise. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, for the 7th determining thought moment, it will only effective up till the next life if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the 2nd to 6th determining thought moment will be around at all times. So the answer is it possible to experience them even in this lifetime. Just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life. H102, 19th Heart Sutra Class, Part 1, 1.1. Wisdom and life situation. With wisdom, one is always at ease, with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. One will also be able to accord and flow with conditions during their waking moments. As in working career environment, as a housewife doing her daily chores, as a normal human being going through life, etc., one will have the wisdom, the ability to resolve all of life issues or situations amicably, without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone. That is, with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always be happy and at peace with all life situations. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thoughts from arising, one needs to develop sati, mindfulness, heedfulness, appamada, and wisdom, panya, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intention that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. Right thought, speech, and action are conducive for the holy life. The 3 doors that commits karma are chetana or mental intention committed via speech, action, and thought processes. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intention and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind. Contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action via arising only the right or appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living beings is very important. For example, we are having love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness, and gentleness of speeches, gratitude, sincerity, etc. in everything we do can go a long way. Sometimes, by being sensitive to say, I'm really sorry and please do forgive me if I have unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding, can go a long way to make people feel good and happy, as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appreciative speech, and speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry should learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving people. Those who are attending to emergency phone calls must have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speech to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like, "May I help you?" and "How can I be of assistance?" are very useful and appropriate. Understanding the importance of applying the four right effort to purify our action, speech, and thought process is very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purification needed for cultivation, and they are purification of morality, purification of the mind, and purification of view. These three purification are part of the seven stages of purification as taught by the Buddha. 1.2 Seven Stages of Purification, Sattha Visuddhi. The seven stages of purification, or Sattha Visuddhi, as taught by the Buddha, are as follows. 1. Sila Visuddhi, purification of morality or virtue via keeping one's precept. 2. Citta Visuddhi, purification of mind or content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots, via an awareness of how it arises to condition one into negativity, then how to root them out via wisdom to develop the wholesome state of mind. 3. Ditti Visuddhi, purification of view, so as to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the law of dependent origination, and to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factors. Know the difference between right and wrong view to develop the true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. 4. Purification by overcoming doubt, Kankha Vitarana Visuddhi. No more doubt, because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivators to complacency and misguided belief of realization. 5. Purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and not path, Magga Magga Jnana Dasana Visuddhi. Not path leads to delusion and suffering, whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, peace, and stillness of mind born of wisdom. 6. Purification of knowledge and vision of the way, Patipada Jnana Dasana Visuddhi. After understanding the path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. 7. Purification by knowledge and vision, Jnana Dasana Visuddhi. Realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. Since meditation is taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced a fantastic meditation experience, one may think that one is already enlightened, but if one's action, speech, and thought processes are still very crude with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 19, The Kinds of Suffering, page 43 to 46. 2.1, The 31 Planes of Realms of Existence. 1. The immaterial world, Arupa Loka, consists of four realms that are accessible to those who pass away while meditating in the formless jhanas. 2. The five material world, Rupa Loka, consists of 16 realms whose inhabitants the deva experience extremely refined degrees of mental pleasure. These realms are accessible to those who have attained at least some level of form jhana and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress hatred and ill will. They are said to possess extremely refined bodies of pure light. The highest of these realms, the pure abodes, are accessible only to those who have attained to the sainthood stage of a non-returner or of the third stage of Anagami awakening. The fine material world and the immaterial world together consist the higher heavenly realms. 3. The sensuous world, Kama Loka, consists of 11 realms which experience both pleasurable and non-pleasurable sensual states of mind. It is dominated by the five senses. 7 of these realms are favorable destination, and it includes the 6 Deva realms and our own human realm. The lowest of the realms are the 4 bad destination, which includes the woeful realms of the demons, animals, beta, hungry ghosts, and hell realms. Enlightenment, mind that has clarity and wisdom and is no longer deluded, genuine wisdom, is with complete clarity and understanding. 3rd noble truth, cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana, form and mind cease to be. Part 3, meditation. 3.1, reports of meditation. 1. I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. I can sit for 1 hour and feel lighthearted with more clarity, joy, calmness, and peace within most of the time. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless, that is, with very much less wandering thoughts. When faced with problems, the mind is not so afflicted like before.
This one is really good. This Kaya Mitta, actually, she came to the Sunday class, Wu Ping Ching Sir, and I think within 19 weeks, about 4 months, she progressed very well. You know who she is? Anybody? You all don't know who?
Monica.
Ah, yes. Oh, so you remember. Sister Monica, yes. After that, she become very different. Every year, she and Leslie and the sister, they will invite me and my wife for this Chinese New Year makan. They got a club somewhere, I think. Or they will book a restaurant somewhere. Because they have a lot of gratitude, joy. Because this style meditation actually transformed them. So I read to you again so that you understand. He said, I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. I can sit for 1 hour and feel. See, the characteristic is what? Light-hearted, with more clarity, joy, calmness, and peace within most of the time. It's no longer that type of sitting that you become miserable. The slop and torpor, the pain, the uncomfortableness, the restless mind, the anxiety, the thought, run here, run there. So all this is not meditation. Actually, you come to retreat to train your mind to be peaceful, to have the awareness, to insight the phenomena, to develop the understanding. But instead, you come here and become miserable for what? You might as well stay at home, drink a cup of coffee, go for tea, go for a movie, or catch up with some friend. You feel better, or go for an evening walk. So all this are a lot more comfortable when you know how to meditate. You become different. When you don't know, that is the result. That's why this will give you faith. Then he said, my mind is a lot quieter and less heedless. That is with very much less wandering thought. When faced with problem, the mind is not so afflicted like before. This one really helped her. Then read on.
2. My daily mindfulness has improved. Now, when I encountered problems, the mind is not so easily stirred. I am now more aware of my mental intentions, especially the negative ones, with the three evil roots. And with this clarity of awareness, I am able to cultivate the four right effort to abandon, to prevent the arising, to promote, and to refine upon the various mind states with greater ease.
See, this is the example of a Kayamita who really pay attention, then develop the understanding and do it. And the result is beautiful. Next.
3. After cultivating the daily mindfulness, when encountering sloth and torpor, I can just accept the state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. And this acceptance allows my silent mind in sati to take over and remain in peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience a shift in consciousness that makes my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then the sloth and torpor are gone.
So this part, you remember, are gone. The aversion there, it becomes a mental hindrance. You cannot break free. You accept, be with it, relax, and be with it, or maintain awareness to be with it. Then it will flash through. That is how people can do it and overcome. Then you listen. I reply to her.
Brother Thiel replied.
I congratulated her.
These are very good meditative results born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. Maha Sadhu to you, sister. Always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner peace and awareness to live life with a lot of happiness, joy and understanding, then it is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtues or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path to live the noble life of a noble one. To truly live life, the mind must be in silent inner awareness, to be with the moment to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are heedless because they think a lot and they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life, that is, they don't really live. To be at peace with every moment of sense door consciousness is genuine wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act and live life to the fullest, meaningfully, is most important.
Thank you. So exactly, the alarm just went off. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the world you are. Then you can break for lunch. Okay.